Welcome to the Infected.
Good evening, fellow creatures of the night. You must have noticed we've entered autumn. A time when we go back inside to stay warm and cozy. Let's start off with a band that brings some color to our increasingly shorter autumn days. We're talking about Jean Loves Jezebel with the song Desire. So that was Jean Loves Jezebel. Did you know these guys, by the way?
I've heard of them, but I haven't listened a lot to them.
Jan Willem, JW, mentioned them, I believe, in the first season in the Dutch episodes we did. But I thought it was time to check out a bit more, because we've done a lot of episodes on this podcast and we're continuously looking for older new tracks. And I came across these guys, and it's a band from the British twin brothers, Jay and Michael Aston, so they're twins. If you look them up, you'll see that they look the same, but also sound the same and sing the same way. And they started off in black and white, but evolved into a very colorful band in the mid-80s, in the MTV era as well. I'm saying colorful because they looked like a glam rock band and definitely brought something to the black and white goth scene of that time. For instance, they had a goth-like spider hair, but then in pink. They actually have a name for that kind of goth hair. It's called a tarantula top. Because it's so spidery and all over the place. So these brothers, the Aston brothers, they grew up in South Wales. And they spent much of their time fighting with the local rugby boys. They had two options, basically. That's what Jay says, one of the two twin brothers. You either got beat up or you fought back. So the Astons fought back. two scrawny guys, but they they were in a lot of fights, and music provided an escape for them. Post-punk music, that is. Bowie was a big influence on them, Led Zeppelin as well, but also the local bands from Britain at the time. They were quite successful in their careers, also in the USA. They toured with the Velvet Underground, for instance. But eventually, after around 10 years of making albums and especially performing a lot, because they did perform a lot, the brothers were grabbing each other by the throat, basically. So they separated, the twins got separated, and both of them didn't want to give up the band name. So they're actually now two incarnations of Gene Love's Jezebel. They both wanted to do more songwriting, more guitar playing, more singing. Yeah, but you got to work with each other, I guess. And they couldn't work it out, so they ended up splitting.
I bet they've been answering the question, who is Gene and who is Jezebel, quite often.
Yeah, the band name comes from, there was a rock guy, I believe from the 50s or 60s, that was called Gene something. He made a book that was called blah, 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 Jezebel, and they got the name from that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the album cover of the album Discover that this song Desire is on. They look very, very 80s, but very colorful and not as depressed as some of their goth colleagues.
They're a colorful duo, let's put it that way. And this track is kind of poppy, still has a goth atmosphere that I'm going for, and yeah, nice starter.
After Metacross last week, we have yet another Russian act for you, and this is Lost Project. Lost Project play a mix of synthwave, darkwave and industrial with a definite and deliberate retro feel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to it. Here it is. It's an instrumental track and it's called Bellatrix. We'll be right back. So that was Bellatrix by Lost Project.
Nice.
What did you think, Gove?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the hell out of this track, Jeroen. In fact, makes me want to play the rest of this podcast episode along this line, because I've been bouncing my head. Gave me goosebumps. I love the aesthetic of these guys, and mostly French retro wave acts like Kavinsky, College, Miami Nights, 1984, Mitch Murder. Never heard of these guys, but goosebumps all over. I kind of forgot about this whole genre. How did you come up with this one this week?
So I came across them because they are on a compilation album called Synthwave Radio, something you can find on Spotify. Lost Project seems to be a solo project. I went to their VKontakte page, which is the Russian equivalent of Facebook. And even if you don't speak Russian, it's worthwhile to go check out the page because they regularly post tracks on there that are free to download.
Uh-huh.
And there's a couple of great ones among them.
Russians and free to download stuff.
So I did hit Translate Service to find out what it is that Lost Project actually does. What I could find out is that they started in 2016 with two six-track new retrowave EPs that both are pretty good. And they have published new music regularly ever since.
Never heard of it.
On Spotify, the act is rather tiny with only 127 monthly listeners and only one album published. But it's excellent, and it's called Cyber Dream.
Cool.
Lost Project sounds a bit like it's being done by the grandson of Jan Hammer somehow. I don't know if you can relate to that.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like synth-ridden, at least, and it's 80s. And
Yeah. He talks about his music as soundtrack, not sure to what exactly, but I just love how it sounds like a video game for a bit before it takes off. I can imagine flying through deep space to this soundtrack.
I'm going to take it back to 1980 again before I have something new to play from 2018. But first, we're going to go back a couple of decades again. I'm talking about The Teardrop Explodes, and the song is called Poppies in the Field.
Oh.
wait around. That was The Teardrop Explodes, Poppies in the Field. What do you think of it?
I was listening to the lyrics and I was trying to make sense of it. I understand the poppies are in the field and he doesn't know what that means and he's waiting around.
Mm-hmm.
Poppies being a symbol for people who have been lost in war or have lost family in war. And wartime charities usually have poppies as symbols.
Okay.
Not sure if that has anything to do with it. The sentence that struck me most was, comic books are all I read. Very funny.
It is funny because the thing is that I found out is the Teardrop Explodes, that band name, was taken from a caption in the Marvel comic strip Daredevil.
Oh.
Quite a famous one. They also made a movie out of it. And there are these, not these speaking clouds that you have in comics, but there are also some descriptive notes on the top of each frame. And that's, they had the Teardrop Explodes, ..
Yeah.
In one of those. And that's where they got this name from. So cool that you picked up on that as a lyrics man. But the thing is, I really love this track. At the same time, the singing reminds me of Sting. And I fucking hate Sting.
Yeah.
You know? When he has that chorus about the poppies are in the... I don't know. Yeah, still like this song, but I cannot get Sting out of my head when listening to it.
Sting gets in the way.
Yeah, Sting gets in the way with his politics and his shenanigans. Anyway, The Teardrop Explodes. They're a band from Liverpool. Liverpool is how you pronounce it, I guess. Founded by Julian Cope. And he became involved in Liverpool's emerging post-punk scene at an early age. And his first band was called Crucial 3, with two native Liverpundians. That's what you call the guys that grew up in Liverpool. And also that was one of these three was Ian McCulloch.
Oh, uh-huh.
From Echo and the Bunnymen. Yes, familiar name.
Right.
And the band was soon signed by the indie label that was Zoo Records. And a fun fact is that Bill Drummond of the KLF was one of the owners of Zoo Records.
Oh.
Another act on that same label was Echo and the Bunnymen later on.
Yeah.
And the thing is that Julian and Ian both had very dominant egos and they kept on clashing about artistic differences and their rivalry. So they basically had a love-hate relationship. Although I think Echo and the Bunnymen could piss all over the Teardrops because Echo and the Bunnymen had much more successful records and a more, I think, continuity in the quality that they delivered, at least in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, the Teardrops sound a bit poppy at the first glance, but they have the right kind of emotion that develops slowly in their songs, as you might have heard. So it sounds kind of catchy with the drums, but later it builds a certain mood and I really like that combination. So still, the best work, I think, of the Teardrops is from the 1980s. And it's the album that they did, Kilimanjaro, that this track is on, that we just played. Long story short, Julian Cope, that founded this band, kept fighting with his band members throughout his career. And he sounds like a difficult character. Fighting with Ian McCulloch, fighting with his band members. Nothing's good enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like a difficult fucking guy. But yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's a name for this. It's called LSD.
LSD, yes.
And you know what LSD means? It's lead singer's disease.
Lead singer's disease. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I like Teardrop Explodes as well. I listened to them in the 80s. I think their best album is probably Everybody Wants to Shag, which is from 1990, one of the things I bought when it came out on vinyl. They're serious and they explore different emotions, but they can also be funny and a bit loose.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in the 80s were very, very grim and very serious all the time.
That's right.
That can be a bit boring as well, right? It's like, oh, we're doomed. We're all going to die. Everything is going to hell. The bomb will drop. And
yeah, black and white and doom, gloom. Yes.
Yeah, and these guys had a bit of a sense of humor, which was a breath of fresh air. So I liked the Teardrops.
Yeah, I can relate to that, what you're saying. And also maybe Gene and Jezebel did the same thing, both from a goth kind of post-punk background, but bring a little bit of color to this genre. At least you can't deny the talent of these guys. And they were on Top of the Pops 4 times. Also, Julian was playing a different instrument each time, so you cannot deny the musical talent as well. And he was so wasted at the first time they performed on the Top of the Pops. There was blood on the trumpet because he was banging it into his face too hard.
You know that they're not actually playing music at Top of the Pops, right? I mean, it's really easy to bring a different instrument with you every time.
Then he was pretending really hard, Jeroen. And I assume, like poppies are in the field, I didn't know of that metaphor, but it kind of brings a new light to the song. I thought of drugs, because poppies are also the basis of making opium or heroin.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And he was stoned out of his fucking mind on LSD when bumping the trumpet into his mouth while he was lip-syncing on top of the pops. But who knows what the song comes from.
He was just aiming for his mouth and missing it, probably.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Yeah, no, great band, the Teardrops. I've always liked them. Thank you.
Cool.
Infected Classic.
Moving on, the following song is our Infected Classic for this week. It's a song called Disarm by Smashing Pumpkins. And I want to play this song today and dedicate it to my father. It's actually quite an emotional song, but then again, Billy Corgan, the lead singer and songwriter, has never been afraid to show emotions in his work.
Potent emotional territory is really the last island in rock and roll that's really unexplored. I know why people don't. You open yourself up to every sling and arrow because they're slinging them at you.
Are you prepared to go there?
I already have. There's an emotional connection that I've managed to have. It's a part of who I am to let all this emotion go and transmute it into something that people understand. I think that's very, very powerful.
What most about your childhood shaped you, you think?
You could say I had a difficult upbringing. Physical abuse, child abuse, psychological abuse was seen as a necessary part of parenting.
When abuse is seen as a necessary, logical part of parenting, father abuses son, and in turn that son abuses his son, and so it is passed on and on. Hate gets passed to the next generation like a sickness. And the only way to disarm it is with a smile. When you answer hate with love, the killer in you will kill no more. Ultimately, this is about taking power away from the abuser. They want you to hurt. they want control over you. Smiling into the face of the abuser disarms them. It takes away the power of fear, their power over you.
Powerful stuff, Jeroen. And also they counteracted it with beautiful music. And I'm happy that he is able to let his emotions out and show it to the world and share it with the world after such a difficult childhood. But can you relate?
Yeah. My father lived through this at home as a kid. And he was able to break the cycle. And I have been raised without violence because he was able to disarm the pattern. So I'm equal parts impressed with and thankful for that.
Yeah.
Corgan himself once explained, I wrote this arm because I didn't have the guts to kill my parents. So I thought I'd get back at them through a song.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than have an angry, violent song, I thought I'd write something beautiful to make them realize what tender feelings I have in my heart. So in a way, this song itself is a smile.
Yeah, it is. And the track title couldn't be better, Disarm. The thing is with the Smashing Pumpkins, I've heard them off and on, never stuck with it, but they always had something grand going on. I think the violins and the bell sounds that they incorporate into their music had something to do with it, but the overall mood and, of course, the lyrics.
The original video, by the way, is also very special. It's completely in black and white, and you see Billy and the band hovering over his lost childhood. It's really quite a beautiful video. I'll include a link with the show notes.
Yeah, please do. I'd have to check it out. I was stuck at the picture that you sent over with Billy Corgan with hair. It must be one of the earliest pictures.
Must be very rare, yeah.
Yes, very rare one, but I have to check out that video.
Talking about the video, there's an old man in the video, and the band wasn't too happy with that because it's his theme of childhood, and then you see the band, and then the director, he said, no, I insist we need to have an old man in there as well as the last generation. So guitar player James Iha eventually convinced his old English gardener to play the part.
Yeah?
The gardener was reluctant because he wasn't too keen on the band's music. In the end, they convinced him by saying that he had to start at the bottom and would need to work his way up to being in videos of bands that he thought were more worthwhile.
Infect me. So there's one thing that the Smashing Pumpkins have in common with the next band, that's called Trouble, and that is that they were both featured in David Lynch movies or series. So the Smashing Pumpkins were on Lost Highway once with their song I, and Trouble is in Twin Peaks Season 3. And Trouble is the band we're going to talk about right now and play shortly after. This band, Trouble, only recorded two tracks, and they were written specifically for the highly anticipated return of David Lynch's cult television classic Twin Peaks Season 3 that aired in 2015. And they released it on a 7-inch single that's called Snake Eyes. And it takes you back to a time when dark and slow jazz was the standard soundtrack to film noir. A genre that we both love, I think.
Yeah, like it. Love it. Good stuff.
And the instrumental trio that is Trouble includes David Lynch's son, Riley Lynch, on guitar.
Oh.
Longtime music supervisor for Lynch, Dean Hurley, on drums, and Alex Zhang on a tenor saxophone. And the B-side has a single that consists of the bonus track Mother's Gone. And that's the one we're going to play in just a moment. It's a menacing track that's a lot more down-tempo than Snake Eyes, and even more moody than Snake Eyes. You'll probably never hear any more new music of these guys, because these two tracks will always have their place in a parallel cinematic universe that is Twin Peaks, grinding out late-night roadhouse gigs in the fictitious town of Twin Peaks, Washington. Because if you've seen Twin Peaks, you know that music is an integral part of the whole mystery and experience. And also, Trouble only exists in the realm of Twin Peaks and not outside of it. Anyway, 26 years after the show was abruptly cancelled in 1991 after only two seasons, the highly anticipated series of Twin Peaks was again released onto the world. Of course, we have it on trusty DVD for $10 through Amazon, and I highly recommend you watching the show if you haven't already. Season 2 and especially 3 spiral out of control quickly, and with control I mean anything that feels like a regular and understandable narrative. So it's more like a work of art to enjoy instead of something you would need to understand. In season 3, every episode ends in the roadhouse. And I think we discussed it earlier in our podcast series. And with the band that closes off, you can expect The Chromatics, Nine Inch Nails, Eddie Vedder, and also Trouble. Here's Mother's Gone.
really laid-back track. Atmospheric, tuning out, zoning out. I was trying to remember what scene this music has been used with. Do you know what pictures are supposed to go with it? Do you remember that?
They were performing on the stage on the Roadhouse in somewhere in season 3. I believe it was midway through season 3. And the music that they played, difficult to explain. So it's intermixed with the storyline. People tend to go to the Roadhouse, meet up, talk some stuff, and then there's a band coming up and it's just these guys. That's it, basically. Doesn't have a specific meaning, but you see them performing as a viewer. You don't hear the music, but you see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that it's called Mother's Gone, since this is a song that he contributed to the work of his father.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was a father-son thing.
Yes.
Mother wasn't quite in on it, I guess.
His mother was actually the editor of the whole series, and she's working with David Lynch throughout her whole career. I'm not sure why he's picking this, because David and his wife are still together. So, I don't know. It's also the B-side. So, the track they performed in season 3 was Snake Eyes. That's the A-side. And this is the B-side. It's a little bit less hectic and more laid back, like you just mentioned. And it's a track that I feel more also for our podcast, so I selected the B-side. Not sure where the title comes from.
Maybe it's just that they could practice when Mother was gone.
Yeah, very punk. I think you're probably right.
Who knows? Yeah. Man, was that the fifth track already? It was, wasn't
it? Yeah, we're going. Yeah, it's time flies.
Yeah, I feel like we could do another six, but we're already approaching the end of this episode. And we have a new section again. We keep innovating.
Nice. Keep evolving.
Here we are. Cover me. So in our new section, Cover Me, we're about to play Hurt for you. Now, Hurt is originally a song by Nine Inch Nails from the album The Downward Spiral. The song was released in 1994. It was written and produced by Trent Reznor, but we're not playing Nine Inch Nails this time.
Hmm.
What you're about to hear is the version by American singer Johnny Cash. Signed to the legendary Sun Records in the mid-1950s, he forged a hugely successful career as a country singer with hits like I Walk the Line, Folsom Prison Blues, Ring of Fire, and A Boy Named Sue.
Ooh, yeah.
And all his life, Johnny Cash struggled with severe addiction problems. Alcohol, speed, pills.
I didn't know he was such a badass. Holy shit.
In fact, you may have heard the story about Cash trying to smuggle over 600 amphetamine tablets and almost 500 tranquilizer pills across the Mexican border. He tried unsuccessfully to bribe a cop to get him out of trouble for being caught. Instead, Johnny spent the night in jail and had to listen to a lecture on wasted talent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, he was a bad guy. He was always dressed in black, and he was notoriously difficult to get along with. A recording career that started in 1950 and ended only in 1991 when his record company finally dropped Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
10 years later, legendary producer Rick Rubin, at that time best known for his work with the Beastie Boys, Slayer and Run DMC.
I know him, yeah.
Set Cash down in his living room and recorded the country legend, performing songs with just an acoustic guitar. They had several sessions and Rubin tried to get Cash to record the song Hurt.
Mm.
But the veteran musician couldn't hear beyond the original's industrial noise. I think it was hard for him to hear it, Rubin told Rolling Stone magazine. So I just sent him the lyrics and I said, just read the lyrics. If you like the lyrics, then we'll find a way to do it that will suit you. Finally, Cash performed Hurt in 2002. He agreed to record it at Rick Rubin's home in LA. By that time, his health was already failing. There were times when his voice sounded broken, said Rubin. He tried to turn that into a positive in the selection of the music. This is Hurt by Johnny Cash.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. If I could start again, million miles away, I would keep myself, I would find a way.
It was his last hit song before his death. The accompanying music video was awarded a Grammy Award, and it's very powerful. Cash singing at home, or really in the closed and abandoned House of Cash Museum. Playing the piano, he is surrounded by memories from his glory days. Trent Reznor was in pieces when he saw the video. It really made me think about how powerful music is. I wrote some words and music in my bedroom as a way of staying sane about the bleak and desperate place I was in at the time. And somehow that winds up reinterpreted by a music legend from a radically different era and still retains sincerity and meaning. Different, but every bit as pure. And you should really watch the video. The way Johnny Cash closes the lid on his piano and strokes the wood at the end of the song and of the video is symbolic. It's a final goodbye. He died a half year later. The song's album achieved gold status in the US, the first time in more than 30 years for Johnny Cash. This is Hurt by Johnny Cash.
Jeroen, I like this one way better than the one by Nine Inch Nails. This version of Hurt. It's got a lot more, it's half the length of the song by Nine Inch Nails, and it's got a lot more meaning and depth to it. I never heard of this one.
No, it's beautiful. You hear his life's experiences, and he's bringing a lot to the table. He's lived through a lot. He's disappointed a lot of people. He had his shares of deaths in his family and friends. I feel that is completely naked and honest, the way that he is able to give it more depth than Trent Reznor was. Yeah.
Yeah. He also sounds a bit tired, I must say. Lived through, tired, seen it all. You kind of hear it through his voice, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. He's describing the world in a way that you get the feeling that he's already on his goodbyes.
Well, he did a great job. That's exactly what I got from it. And I like it as a final one on this rainy and dark autumn night. Thanks for sharing.
I think with this dark and rainy season, we can turn to more introverted atmospheres every now and then.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Absolutely, Jeroen.
We'd love to hear from you and let us know how you like the episode. If you have an own favorite that you would like to hear us play and discuss. You can use the contact form on the site at www.theinfected.nl to get in touch. Care for a t-shirt, a stylish coffin for your iPhone, or maybe an infected face mask? You will find a shop at theinfected.nl.
No.
And we have this little secret for you. Use the discount code INFECTME and get free shipping.
Cool.
If you want more music, on theinfected.nl we offer custom Spotify playlists and a fine collection of all the songs played on the show. And what's more, the site also has complete show transcripts. Great if you want to share the stories about the tracks or just read them again.
Sounds cool.
The site also features unique interviews with more and more really interesting artists. Go check it out. And if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe via Spotify, Google, or iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all for now. Thanks for listening. Time for us to move to the lounge to recline on our cold, skinned sofas. Perhaps we'll have the minions drag in a few delicacies. Shall we, Kof?
Yes, let's do so.
Goodbye, children of the night. We'll meet again.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Jeroen. Prachtig weer.
Stay safe, stay strong, and keep listening to The Infected.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.